Tell them happy Father's Day. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for you gave good gifts to your children, Father. We love you today, Father. We honor you today, Father. We give you glory today, Father. We thank you for your goodness in our lives. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for your greatness in our lives. We thank you for Jesus, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. Give him thanks for who he is to you today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God loves you today. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to James chapter 1. I'm thankful to be here today with you. Thank you, Pastor Barnes, for inviting me to come here on Father's Day. Pastor Barnes and Jumi and his family are precious to us and my family. I'm thankful to have my family here. My wife and three of my four children are here. My in-laws from Wisconsin and sister-in-law and niece from Wisconsin are here. Amen. My daughter Grace just graduated high school this week, so they're in for a little graduation celebration. Amen. But I'm thankful for Pastor Barnes and Jumi and Joey and little Ezra. Amen. They were just blessed with a new baby. Amen. And it reminds me of these three men who were in the maternity ward waiting to hear about their children being born. Today you go right in and, you know, deliver that baby with her. But I'm old school. I'd rather just walk up and down the hall and wait for someone to tell me about it, you know. And so the nurse comes out and tells this one father, he goes, "Congratulations, you're going to have twins." He says, "Oh, great, twins, that's great." He goes, "Boy, what a coincidence, I work for the Minnesota Twins." And that was great. And so another nurse comes out and tells the other guy, "Congratulations, you're the father of triplets." He said, "Triplets?" He goes, "Man, that's weird, I work for 3M. And the third guy that's in there, he's over there knocking his head against the wall. "No, no, no, no." And they're saying, "What's the matter? What's going on?" He goes, "I work for 7-Eleven. You don't want that nurse coming out and said you have septuplets. But I'm thankful to be here today. We rejoice in the goodness of God. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a loving Heavenly Father today who loves us? And I want to talk to you today about a father's legacy. James chapter 1. I'm going to not preach on this text today, but I'm going to launch off of this text today. James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And everybody said, amen. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created. Amen? God has given us salvation. God has blessed us with Jesus. God has saved us from our sins so that we just might be fathers of first fruit of all that God has given us, so that we can pass that on to our children and their children and their children who come after them. Amen? We have a rich legacy, but it starts from our Father in heaven. Glory to God. So as we celebrate Father's Day today, my heart was directed to what is the greatest legacy a father can leave for his children. And I know we draw up our wills and we try to leave a better life for our children and all those things that are precious to us we want to pass on to our children. And I know that we work hard to make the lives of our children a little easier than the life that we had. But where the Lord has directed me and of utmost importance is a spiritual legacy that a father can leave for his children. Amen? And so I want to speak today on three legacies that we receive from our Heavenly Father that was given to us and that we can pass on to our children. And that first legacy that we can leave our children is unconditional love. How many fathers love their children? Do you know that your father loves you not because of yourself, but in spite of yourself? Amen. God loves me not because I'm the best thing since sliced bread. He loves me in spite of my feebles and frailties and mistakes I made. He still loves us, amen, with an unconditional love. And that's the love that God wants us to show to our children. We know John 3:16 that God so loved the world, then he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest gift God can give us is the salvation of our souls. And Paul says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us unconditionally. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He didn't wait for us to be good boys and good girls, just the way we were. He sent his son to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. Now, unconditional love doesn't mean he loves us so much that no matter what we do, how much we sin, he's lovingly going to bring us to heaven. Unconditional love means there's nothing we have to do to earn the love of the Father. And that's the kind of love God wants us to give our children. They don't have to earn our love. We love him. We love them just because we've been loved by God. Amen? It doesn't negate our own sin and the consequences of those sins if we don't accept Christ, repent of our sins, and turn from those sins. But he will still love us even in our rebellion and sin. He loves us just because he is love. And fathers, we can love our children because we know the love of God that he's poured into our hearts. Amen? And all the fathers said, amen. So, Father, we ought to love our children unconditionally. Don't ever make your children feel that they have to earn your love or they have to be this perfect kid to be loved by you. I love you just because God gave you to me. Amen? And we love you dearly. You know the story of the prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted to go off on his own and do his own thing. And he went to his dad and, give me my inheritance. And he went out. And I know better than you, Dad. How many dads know where that comes from sometimes, right? I know you live, you're old school. You're an old head. And I know better. So just give me my inheritance and let me go on my way. I'll make my life. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me. And he squandered his inheritance. And he got caught up in sin. He got so low that this Jewish boy was eating food in a pig pen. Food that was designated for the pigs. Finally came to his senses and said, you know what? My father's servants are better off than me. I'm going to go back to my father and say, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be your son. Just take me back as a servant. But I know my life under your fatherhood was better than any life I got on my own. And he went back to his father. And guess what? His father was working outside. And I'm sure his father was praying every day. Fathers, do you pray every day for your children? I don't know if you have children that have wandered away from the faith or strayed away from the way you taught them to go. But I hope you're praying for them. And I'm sure this prodigal son, his father was praying and praying and looking and watching. And he saw his son way down the road coming home. He didn't say, well, you know, you did your thing. You made your bed. You sleep in it. No, he ran and he put his arms around that son. He welcomed him home. He threw a feast for that son. Amen. God loves us unconditionally. Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. If we realize we sinned and we repent and we come back to the Father, he throws his arms around us and he loves us with an unconditional love. Amen. So I hope, if you do have a child that is strayed, you're praying. And when they're ready to come back, you don't have to tell them, I told you so. You need to throw your arms around them and love them, just like your Heavenly Father loved you. Amen? We love with an unconditional love. Jesus told his disciples, and the Father tells us, that he died on the cross for our sins. Amen. He loved us so much that he gave his only life for. Are you willing to give your life for your children? Give time to pray. Give time to be on your knees. Give time to read scriptures. Give time to raise your children in the ways of the Lord so they know the way of the Lord. Amen. The first legacy that we can leave our children is a legacy of unconditional love. Show them what true godly love is. that they may love their wives when they get married. They may love their own children with a godly love. They may love others because they saw in tangible ways you loving with an unconditional love. Amen? We love because he first loved us. Our Father shows us what love is so that we can love our families and our children. We need to show that same love to our children so that generations from now, they know what love is. Amen? The second, that's it, Joey. Thank you. Got an amen corner back there. The second legacy we leave our children is a legacy of spiritual empowerment. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles. We need to pass on a legacy to our children of spiritual empowerment. Thank you, worship team, for your ministry today, leading us into the presence of God. Amen. The Spirit of God was moving in our service today. And I hope the Spirit of God can move in our homes and move in our lives and move in our children's lives. Amen. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 32. It says, God has raised his Jesus to life. This is Peter preaching. You know what happened, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in the upper room, and he got up and preached, and he talked to the Israelites how they crucified the Christ, but God raised him up, and he poured out his Holy Spirit, and these people aren't drunk. They're just filled with the Holy Ghost. It is God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted at the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and the Father who loves us poured out his Spirit upon us. And guess what? He's still pouring out his Spirit upon us, his children, because he wants to empower us so that we can live a holy life, so that we can impact our families, so that we can impact the world around us. Amen? And we need to receive the Spirit, the gift from the Father, of the Holy Spirit, and pass that on to our children. It's a crazy world out there, dads. Could I hear an amen on that? It's a crazy world out there. We need to live our children a spiritual empowerment that they can navigate the world they live in and achieve victory over the enemy of their souls. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 46, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you receive the Holy Spirit and be clothed with power from on high. Our Heavenly Father has given us his Holy Spirit, and we need to pass that spiritual life onto our children. They're not going to make it on their own. They need the life of the Spirit. And where are they going to get that from if they don't get it in their own home? Amen? Thank God for a church that's a Spirit-filled church. But they're only here for an hour or two on Sunday morning. You hear what I'm saying? We need to have our homes to be a place of the Spirit. Jesus went to glory to be back with his Father, and he gave us an inheritance of the Spirit, if you will. He's given us power to live the life we need to live, holy before him, and witnesses in the earth where he's placed us. We sang the song, we come alive in the river, amen? Let that river be a refreshing to you that brings life to us, and that will bring life to our family, and bring life to everyone we come in contact with. Jesus said, it would be like a river of living water, bubbling up within you and overflowing to everyone you come in contact with. He's given us a legacy of spiritual empowerment, and we need to pass that legacy on to our children. We can leave many things behind to our children, but the greatest legacy is a life of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will keep our children. It's the Holy Spirit that will help them be good children of God, good husbands and good fathers themselves. Do you teach your children God's ways? Do you have devotions with your children? Do you teach your children to pray? Do you teach your children to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be sensitive and attentive and obedient to the Spirit of God? Do you live your life in such a way that your children will know what God is like because they see a godly character lived out in your life, Dad, each and every day? It's been said that a child is not likely to find the Father in God unless he finds something of God in his Father. And I pray that your children find God in you. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells the church in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." Amen. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I hear pages turning and phones clicking. As Pastor Earl says, the tree version or the e-version? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Early on, God instructed godly men and godly fathers how to run their homes. And I pray, fathers, that you learn something today that you'll carry forth that will bless you, that will bless your children and your grandchildren. I got my father-in-law with me. We were talking at home. He's got 5 children, 17 grandchildren, and 17 great-grandchildren. Praise the Lord. His middle name's Methuselah. No, I'm only kidding. But what a godly heritage to pass on, amen? And I pray every father here can sit back one day and watch their children walking with God and watching their grandchildren and even great-grandchildren walking with God. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel," the Lord says, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." God has blessed us with good things. Amen? Some of us have nice homes. Some of us have a nice car. Some of us have a nice job. We have beautiful children. Don't forget where you got it from. It's not because you worked hard or worked 2 jobs or worked overtime. It's because God has given you good things. Don't forget that and let your children know where the goodness of God is in your life so they'll know if I rely on God and I trust in God, God will bless me and God will bless my children. Amen? Teach them the ways of God. Show them the ways of God. Live the ways of God. That you can enjoy the blessings of God, watching generations come after you, serving the Lord. Amen? He provided for the Israelites, and all they had came from the Heavenly Father. Now he tells them to pass this legacy on to your children. I pray my children know where their blessings come from. You teach them to work hard. You teach them to go to college. You teach them to do the right thing. But we need to teach them where these blessings really come from. And don't forget, because those blessings could be gone just like that if the enemy of your soul gets a hold of you. Amen? We leave our children a legacy of unconditional love. We leave our children a legacy of spiritual empowerment. And lastly, we leave our children a legacy of generational blessings. The blessings of a godly heritage is a legacy that will carry on from generation to generation the generation. The promise we have from the Lord through Jesus Christ is for us. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, speaking to the people again, tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen. I'm the first generation to be saved in my family. But now I have a new generation that's saved. And my prayer is that their children will be saved. There's 20, 22, 20. They got to find a husband yet or wife yet. They got to, right? Get married, then have children. And I want those grandkids. But we want to raise them in the Lord. Amen? We don't just live for today, dads. I'm getting older. My children are getting older. And I reflect on what legacy am I going to leave for my children. I want to see them married. I want to see grandkids. I want to see great-grandkids. Some of you have grandkids and great-grandkids already. What a blessing to see those generations come after you. And I'm sure your desire for them is that they serve God, successful in life, with happy and healthy families. And as we raise them with unconditional love, pass on spiritual empowerment, I'm sure by God's grace we'll see generational blessings in our families. You probably know the story of Jonathan Edwards, and one of his descendants was working for the New York State prison facilities. And he noticed this one guy with the last name of Jukes, Max Jukes. He looked and he said, boy, all these guys are coming in here with the last name Jukes. What's going on with this family? They're all criminals. And he decided to look into this person's background and his legacy. And he looked and he saw it just in the New York State prison system. 42 people with the last name of Jukes went through the New York State prison system. He said, man, what a horrible legacy that is. And he goes, you know, I have a spiritual heresy. A spiritual legacy. Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher, a great evangelist. So he decided to look into his heritage. And these are some things that he found in that research. Almost 150 years after Jonathan Edwards had passed away, he looked at Jonathan Edwards' family tree and Max Jukes' family tree. Jonathan Edwards had a godly legacy that included one vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries. That's a good legacy. Amen? Because he lived for the Lord and passed it on generation to generation, we see how not only was his family blessed, but he blessed the world around him. And then he looked at this Max Jukes' descendants, which included 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50, let's call them women of debauchery, 130 other convicts, 310 paupers with over 2,300 years lived in poorhouses, and 400 who were physically wrecked by indulgent living. Dads, living a life in Christ and passing that legacy on to our children can make a difference for generations to come. Whether it's generations of sin or generations of godliness, we will affect people we'll never see in our lifetime, but they'll follow our bloodline for generations to come. And I pray that you can have a Jonathan Edwards legacy for the glory of God. Amen? Peter, after hearing the man who was healing the man who was lame from birth and speaking to the crowd, said in Acts chapter 3, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all the peoples on earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Our generational blessings come from Abraham, the father of faith. And as we place faith in Jesus Christ, we are heirs of all the promises of God, the blessings of God that he has for you and me and our families. Amen? We have a rich heritage, saints. To Abraham, our father of faith, we need to carry that on for generations to come. The Lord told Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Hallelujah. Your God promises that I'm going to be the God of your children. I'm going to be the God of your grandchildren. I'm going to be the God, and the same blessings I've bestowed on you, I'm going to bestow on them. Can't you rejoice in God today on this Father's Day? What a Father in heaven we have, amen? Hallelujah. He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised. Amen. It's not just for us, but our families will bless this world that we live in. Jonathan Edwards, doctors and professors and lawyers and missionaries and, amen, college presidents and senators and vice presidents. We don't know what our children and grandchildren will become, but if we raise them in the legacy of the Lord, we can trust that God's going to do great things in their lives. Amen? But it starts with you, Dad. Are you passing on a legacy of unconditional love to your children? A legacy of spiritual empowerment? A legacy of blessings that will last for generations to come? Amen? I trust that you're living that life before God. Paul the Apostle told the church in Galatia, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen? We have a rich heritage that's been passed on to us by our Father in heaven. Let us continue in the promise of God by passing that legacy onto our children. Are you living your life with the generations that follow you in mind? A lot of times we live for today. I just got to get through this week. You know, it's hump day. It's the weekend. Thank God it's Friday. Oh no, Monday's tomorrow. You know, we go back to work. We live in our today, but we got to live for generations that'll come after us. We don't know when the Lord's going to take us home. But I do want to know what I leave behind. Amen? And not just a house and baseballs that were signed by Babe Ruth or anything like that. I want to leave behind a spiritual heritage for our children. Amen? Can you see the blessings of the Lord on your children? And those who have grandchildren, see the blessing of the Lord on them. God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. In ancient China, the people, they wanted to build security so that these barbaric nations from the north couldn't invade China, so they built the Great Wall of China. And in 100 years since that was built, they were invaded 3 times. But none of those barbarians ever climbed the wall, never broke through the wall. They bribed the gatekeeper and walked right through the gate and invaded China. They were so worried about building up their security, they forgot to teach their children integrity. And it was a corrupt child that caused China to be invaded. Are you teaching your children things so the enemy will not break through and bring destruction into your families and into your homes and into your lives? We have to pass on that godly heritage to our children. Amen? If we want healthy families for our children and their children after them, it will be the godly values we instill in them that will bring the generational blessings to them, and in turn, they will bring blessings to generations after them. A Bible school teacher asked her class to draw a picture of God for her, and the little boy finished his picture, And the teacher said, what is that? He said, well, this is a picture of my dad. I don't know what God looks like, but I know what my father looks like. And he drew a picture because he saw God in his father. I pray your children would draw pictures of you in school when they're asked to draw a picture of God, because they see God in you. Amen? Let's live such a light before our children that don't know what God looks like because they see him in us. And I want to close with a poem that I found as I was preparing for today. And then we're going to have prayer for our fathers. We're going to bless our fathers. I know Pastor has things planned for the fathers. I don't want to take too much time. I know you have reservations already at the restaurant. But God's got a reservation for you at this altar to pour out blessings on you that you can in turn take and pass on. This poem is simply entitled Dad. He never looks for praises. He's never one to boast. He just goes on quietly working for those he loves the most. His dreams are seldom spoken. His wants are very few. And most of the time, his worries will go unspoken too. He's there, a firm foundation through all our storms of life, a sturdy hand to hold to in times of stress and strife, a true friend we can turn to when times are good or bad, one of our greatest blessings, the man that we call Dad. Amen? I trust that that's speaking of you.